Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are...
Hit it late with a bitch from the bayou. Make sure the pussy ball no Caillou. Hadouken your ass like I'm Ryu. I'll swatch on your ass like a eye chapstick on my lip, but I'm looking like a bitch. I had a couple kids, but I threw them in a dish. For the ice on my wrist, no a guy could whip.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to do this intro at this point. From the heart of Discord, right here on the Podzilla 1985 Network, this is Podzilla After Dark. And Hunter, guess what? It's official.
I heard that it's official. Murder is legal in the state of California.
That is absolutely true. I don't know if I said my name. I'll say it one more time. My name is Shannon Young. I'm wearing an illicit hat. With me tonight, of course, we have the co-owner of Podzilla 1985, Mr. Jesse Kimball.
That's me, and I don't know what we're talking about.
He never studied. Also with us tonight, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Ha! Huh?
Returning with her own box, Shelby Chan.
Hello.
The man himself, Tanner Calvert, here with us tonight.
I hate you so much right now.
And Double H.
Note to self, learn to hypnotize people and loot town.
It's just us.
That's it. That's all it is.
It's us every week. Before we get started tonight,
we have a Friday show. Basically,
we got a lot to talk about tonight. It's going to be a light show, mostly. But I do want to start off with something kind of sad, and that is that myself and Jesse and Shelby and Lindsay watched Malignant the other day.
We sure did.
R.I.P. Your time.
Spoiler free.
We sure did.
I'm going to pretend I didn't watch it. How about that?
Spoiler-free review. I was incredibly disappointed. Like, I don't know how to say it other than that. I didn't go in with high expectations because I've kind of come to discover that James Wan is kind of a hack.
Yeah, he's a hack. Yeah. Like, the first Conjuring movie was solid. And
the second one was good. I liked the second one.
The second one was okay. Like I really liked the smiling man or the crooked man.
He was good.
The crooked man.
He was good. He has his own toy at Target.
Oh my god!
Because I thought about you. I thought about getting it for you. Anyway, go ahead.
And the nun was really cool in that film.
Right.
But everything else that I've seen from James Wan has been anti awful.
Hackery.
Real bad.
Yeah, so we watched it, and I was kind of hyped. I didn't have a lot of expectations, but I was a little hyped for it because they have promoted this movie like it is the scariest movie of all time. Yes, Michaela, it is supposed to be a scary movie. That's how they're promoting it. It is bad.
Can we talk about a scary movie we haven't seen yet that we have?
We can, but first, I'm not done bashing Malignant.
It's bad. It's real bad.
Malignant is the cancer that exists on the horror world right now. James Wan is a hack. I'm no longer going to watch his films. I'm highly disappointed. You know what, James Wan? You just lost my dollar.
You keep talking about this terrible movie. I'm going to bust in this bottle of wine. Just straight from the bottle.
Go for it.
So, yeah, if we go with the nerd up scale, this is definitely a skip.
Yeah.
I didn't pay any money to see it, and I'm still disappointed.
Yeah.
Honestly, it took me a second to remember what it was because my brain was like, nope.
That's because we removed the cancer from your brain. That was that.
It was such a bad movie.
Yeah, it was.
Not good.
Like I can't think of any
talk about how Tanner just hits you with the one like and I'll do it. Okay, he likes it himself.
Like
he said it, and I was like, wait a minute.
And you could tell that he was still on like this kick from like I really enjoyed choreographing those or filming those fight scenes in Mortal Kombat.
Man,
so I'm gonna put one of those in this movie.
I don't.
It was so bad.
Yeah, I don't want to get into spoiler territory just in case people haven't watched it. And first off, I'm telling you not to. But you know,
just don't.
If you haven't watched it, like it gets into a legitimate like it turns into a karate action film, and it makes no sense.
Look, I'm going to help the listeners at home. Shannon Young prefers B and C horror movies. Some of them aren't great. They're not. If Shannon doesn't like it, it's bad. It's real bad.
Who the fuck is this dude? Who the fuck is this dude telling me what I like and don't like? I like the best of the best horror films.
I'm about to say, they're AAA movies that Shannon enjoys, like, horror film-wise. There are movies that I like that Shannon doesn't like, horror right. movie-wise.
When it comes to horror films, I would say, other than Tanner, I'm the aficionado. Other than Tanner, because he's never seen Predator.
I have now!
Sorry.
Have you?
I did.
Sorry, withdrawn.
Sorry, Tanner. Hey, withdrawn. Because Tanner doesn't count because he doesn't like Predator.
Moving there you on. Go there ahead. You go. Yeah, he says boring. But anyway.
I don't like action movies.
Generally, well, then you didn't like Malignant.
I don't like action movies, says the guy who watches the entire MCU. What?
That's different.
It's that comic book character love.
It's not.
Anyway, you know, like, my
this
point.
This movie goes from Resident Evil 1 to Resident Evil 5 really fast.
Really quick.
Oh, no.
My point is that, like, when it comes to horror films, and I would consider myself the aficionado other than Tanner, generally, I do not like the AAA horror films because they are just, they're so mass-produced and there's no creativity to them. A lot of times it's just cut and paste from other horror films. And, like, James Wan is the worst at that. If you've seen a James Wan horror film, you've mostly seen all of his horror films. They don't change much. This was supposed to be the one that was different. That's how they paraded this around. That this is the this is James Wan Unleashed here, bro. And what that meant was it was a lot really bloodier. But
I was gonna say, because in fairness, it was a lot different than everything else we've seen from him.
And that wasn't good. Turns out that's not what we wanted. We want him to just mass produce the shit that he constantly mass produced. Because I at least enjoyed watching the Conjuring films. I didn't leave We watched the new Conjuring not too long ago. And
I don't remember any of us enjoying the new Conjuring movie.
No, but we also didn't go on the podcast and bash the shit
the
out of
movie.
It.
Yes.
Exactly.
And I definitely watched it.
Forgettable.
I'm positive I watched it.
Forgettable
it
is the
no
best you can. It's the
it was
best you can say for
forgettable.
It. Yeah. But that's better than I'm sure he wishes we would forget that we saw Malignant because we wouldn't bash the shit out of him. What really upsets me is that there are if you look online, the overall review for Malignant is good. Apparently, people liked it. Apparently, people like Squalor. And I should have known that.
Clearly.
I'm still surprised. I can't.
Should have known it.
But, I can't imagine why.
But in general, like, especially the kind of horror movies that I like, it seems like the lower budget ones are the better ones.
Yeah, because they take more chances.
Yeah, like, I really, really liked Paranormal Activity.
Mm-hmm.
That's still one of, like, I know, like,
no,
not a whole
No. I saw Lindsay nod. You don't nod. You don't
it,
nod.
But it wasn't bad.
You fell asleep during it and said it was boring.
It was.
Well, for the lower
but
budget
it wasn't
ones,
bad.
They have to use, like, household things. They don't have the money to pay for all the CG and everything, so they have to use household things, things you would find in your own life. So it makes it feel more real.
Right.
This is, I have this at home. All of this is at home. Yeah. This could be happening in my home.
Yeah, it was Phasmophobia, the movie.
And even, like, Paranormal Activity had, like, the you know, very minimal special effects, but what they had, they made work, and it looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really creepy and off-putting. Like, I had a friend legitimately, we saw it in theaters as a group, and she straight up could not sleep for 3 days after seeing that movie.
Yeah, but to be fair, I had one of my college sweetheart, I took her to see Darkness Falls, and she couldn't sleep for days after that movie. Sometimes people are just bad judges of that shit.
That fucking movie.
Also, I'm sorry, we gotta go back for a second. It's not that Paranormal Activity is Phasmophobia the movie. It's that Phasmophobia is
Paranormal Activity
the
game.
You can't just co-opt it after that. It's the other way around.
Speaking of which, Tanner, I gotta talk
came
to you.
First?
I gotta talk to you after this. I found a new game for us that I think you're gonna want to play. Imagine Phasmophobia, but instead of going into houses and tracking ghosts, you are explorers traveling through randomly generated pyramids structures, looking for artifacts and treasure, and being hunted by mummies and ghosts and shit like that.
That sounds awesome.
I'll send you a video. It looks terrifying. It looks amazing. Anyway, so what do you mean, Beth Graham? I don't do scary movies. Those are the best. Those are the best movies. Scary movies.
So let's talk about those for a second. The new one.
Yeah, new one coming out. Trailer dropped today.
It's very known. Shannon and I, we love found footage movies. One of my favorite series recently, Shannon introduced me to VHS.
Yes.
The first two were great.
The third one had its moments. There were moments I liked about it, but overall it was disappointing.
I don't remember the third anything one. About three. I legit don't.
The fucking aliens.
I remember two had one
dog.
I couldn't watch.
No, that's two.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Alien Dog was two, because that's the one I always tell Hunter, like, man, you would love this movie, except
that one.
This one part, man, it will mess with you, because it is truly, it's horrifying. It's just depressing.
Did two have the cult, or was that three?
That was two.
God,
yeah, two.
I don't remember three at all.
Exactly.
How bad it was.
There was only a good part of three. There was one where a guy finds, like, a portal in his house, and he goes to, like, an alternate world. And when he's there, there's, like, giant airships, Nazi airships with, like, glowing crosses. I mean, they were visually stunning. And there was the magician that would make people disappear. Like, that was awesome. The rest of the movie was there. But VHS 94 is coming out October 6th on Shudder. Thank God. That means I don't have to pay for it, because I'm already paying for Shudder. And I'm really excited. The trailer looked amazing. I thought it looked really, really cool. I'm already paying for Shudder.
I know exactly what Hunter's thinking.
Jesse saw it. he picked up on it.
Well, that's like...
I don't have to pay for it, because I'm already paying for it.
That's like, how many times have all of us said, oh, well, yeah, I'll play it, because I don't have to pay for it, because it's on Game Pass. Well, you're paying for Game Pass, so...
I don't have to pay more for it.
That's what I should have said. That way. That's what I should have said. Yeah. All right.
Although, to be fair, technically, I'm also not paying for Game Pass either, because I got that shit for free, so...
I mean, in fairness, like, on that boat, I was going to say, I think Jack is paying for the Shudder, right?
No, I'm paying for Shudder.
Oh,
okay.
Jack pays for Amazon.
Don't say his name again.
HBO.
Yeah, and HBO. Yeah.
And are you talking about HB?
Oh, the Hebrew box office?
No! That's not what I was talking about.
Tonight's show brought to you by Illicit. All right.
That's a nice Pikachu back there.
What Pikachu?
Where, behind Lindsay? Yeah, that's cool.
It's a big, like, I got
up
like...
on the top of the shelf.
I was about to say, there's probably like 20 of them back there.
I have the old school.
Yeah, I was like, you're going to have to be more specific, man. Which one?
I got the old chunky Pikachu.
I think Ethan Craigmiles is in the chat. I saw him like something. Anyway, hi, Ethan. Hey!
Before Pika sends out for you.
Let's talk about go ahead, Tanner. For who?
No.
For you.
Before we talk about the motherfucker of the week this week, really quick, we touched on it on the pre-show on Tuesday, but I wanted to put it on the air. Very sad news, legitimately sad news, that comedian Norm Macdonald passed away at age 61 after a private 9-year battle with cancer. It's gutting, because, like, I love Norm Macdonald. I was such a big fan of his. I didn't agree with all of his views, as we've said before, but as a comedian, he was absolutely brilliant. I love... That is my favorite kind of humor. Even more than the Tim and Eric Andre, off-the-wall, batshit humor, it's that sarcastic, dry...
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell if they're in on the joke or if they're clueless, and that was Norm Macdonald. Like, you didn't know if he was fucking with you... or if he was as shocked as you were. I posted a clip on my Facebook today. It's my absolute favorite clip of Norm Macdonald, of him on the Conan O'Brien show with Courtney Thorne Smith. She's there to promote Melrose Place, and they bring up the fact that she has a new movie coming out with Carrot Top. and I forgot, there's two jokes in there that I love. When he asks what the name is, Norm immediately jumps in and says, well, if it's got Carrot Top in it, I got a name for it, Box Office Poison. Which,
ouch.
And Conan's like, you're saying that to the girl who's in it, who's sitting right next to you on the couch.
Yeah.
And then the all-time, the funniest thing I've ever seen in late-night comedy is when, at the end, they're wrapping up the interview, and Conan says, hey, you've got a movie coming out of Carrot Top, you know, unnamed right now. And she says, Chairman of the Board. So then Conan looks down at Norm MacDonald and says, "There, do something with that, you freak." And Norm MacDonald, without missing a beat, says, "I bet board is spelled B-O-R-E-D." And everyone just erupts into laughter. So, yeah.
I loved Norm MacDonald in, like, an SNL, like, in that incident sort of a thing. I tried watching his, like, because I think he had a couple of stand-up specials.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get down with it. Like, I just, like, I don't know.
My dad and I used to regularly watch his sitcom.
The Norm Show?
Oh, The Norm Show? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which,
Yeah, Norm's stand-up was very, I don't want to say it was Mitch Hedberg-esque, because Mitch Hedberg is kind of a whole different kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's him and several other guys who do that kind of pun. Well, I mean, there were other comedians like Mitch who did that sort of pun-esque, you know, that was their thing. But I think that Mitch and Norm were similar in the sense that they really didn't care if it worked. Like, I would put him on the same level as Dave Chappelle in that sense. They will absolutely go up there, do a bit, and if it bombs, just goes, "All right, well, fuck that," and just keep going. Like,
yeah,
whatever. I don't really care if it didn't work or not.
I saw it was Seth Meyers pay tribute to him the night that he died. And Seth Meyers had talked about when he was on SNL and meeting Norm MacDonald, and how, yeah, Norm MacDonald, he had just as much fun if the joke bombed as he did if the joke landed, because he didn't care. He kept going. He barreled through. And in fact, he said when the show was bad, it actually was better for him, because then he didn't care whether or not he was funny. He could just go out there and just not give a shit. And, like, that's a good way to look at life. That's a good way to look at comedy. You know?
And I do kind of wish that
Weekend Update stuff that just didn't work, and he didn't care. I mean, that bit I was doing with the recorder, he would have that tape recorder, and he would just pull it out of his pocket and make notes to self, you know, and loot town, like they had one policeman or something, and he would just look at the audience, and there's like three people laughing, and he'd just put it back on. Yeah. Anyway. And just move on, like,
and so that's the
dumbest, stupidest thing.
Like, that shit weirdly works for me from Norm. Like, I was fine with that. Like, yeah. I just couldn't do a stand-up. And I do kind of wish that, like, Mitch had been like that. Like, because he really did just kind of, like, he rapid-fired everything. He was like, "All right, I know some of these are going to be duds, but I'm going to hit it." But, like, right. There was a couple of them, like, that didn't land.
Yeah, no one's and perfect, Tanner.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, I do wish that, like, Mitch had that, like, mentality for it, though, because he definitely... He had anxiety super bad.
He had awful anxiety. Like,
he had no idea which one of his jokes really landed until he had to pause for a laugh break.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell when Mitch Hedberg once. He always stared straight at the ground for a lot of the time.
Yep.
Glasses on. You could always tell when he was high, because when he was high, he was much more.
He was on stage.
Well, yeah, but he was much more open. Yeah.
One of the best ways that he ever handled it, I know this is an aside from Norm MacDonald, but I think he would have appreciated this. I think I told this when we were playing Call of Duty, Red Dead the other night. Boy, that was a weird throwback. one of Mitch's CDs, and I think it's either Mitch Altogether or Strategic Grill Locations, one of the two. Those were his main, like, CDs. He had a guy playing stand-up bass behind him, a guy named Chuck, apparently, because he calls him Chuck.
That was Mitch Altogether.
Is it, yeah. Mitch? Okay. This is so good. Just a little, you know, boom, 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 boom. Well, he's telling bits, and he's just telling these jokes. And at one point in time, he looks back, and he's like, "We got Chuck on the bass tonight, y'all." Everybody starts clapping, and he goes, "Don't fuck up the bass tonight, Chuck. We're on CD." Because they're recording the deal. And then as it goes along, he tells some bit like half an hour later, and it bombs completely. And he starts telling it, and he finishes it, and you hear like three people kind of chuckle, and then he looks back, and he goes, "Chuck, when the jokes go down, the bass has to go up. It's gotta be louder. We're all CD,
also,
man."
That is,
or then he'll, when they, like, he gets a big reaction for one bit, and you hear him go, "See, what I'm gonna do is when we do the CD, I'm gonna cut that laugh out and put it in front of one of those jokes, or behind one of those jokes that didn't work earlier. I'm gonna make you fuckers seem like you don't think shit is funny, or funny shit is funny." For that one special, man, he had it. He was on. He got it.
It was like that. I'm gonna make it seem like y'all laugh at unfunny shit.
That was actually a Strategic Grill Location, because Mitch Altogether was the one where he talked about Dr. Acula and taking the duck, or taking the bread from Subway to a duck.
That's the only one I've seen.
Yeah, ducks eat for free at Subway.
Yeah,
they eat for free there. But for the record, I'm talking about the CD recordings, because the special was a whole different thing. It mixed a bunch of different stuff.
I've got the CD downstairs.
The only reason I know it's mixed all together is because in that bit, that's when he makes the corn on the cob joke.
Oh,
we've got.
You wouldn't cut it off there and call it Mitch all together.
I think we've got a standoff here. We've got two men who are equally confident that they're right. But I'm going to move past that.
Yes.
And go. Good idea. And go back to really quick, wrap it up. Our semi eulogy for Norm Macdonald. One, I don't do stand up comedy. I just want to say that out loud. I don't like stand up comedy. I'm not a fan of it because I get nervous. I get nervous that it's not going to be funny, and I feel bad for the person on stage. I'm dead serious. I'm not kidding. When I watch stand up comedy, I am an anxious wreck because I'm like, oh God, what if nobody laughs for them? So I will only watch a stand-up comedy if I know for a fact that they are hilarious. So, like, the Chappelle ones obviously are easy to do. I even watched a Jerry Seinfeld one when I was younger. And you don't think of Jerry Seinfeld as stand-up very much. So I would never watch a Norm. I didn't anyway, because I only knew him from the Seinfeld show. Like, I understand that he was a comedian before that, but, like, I never knew him from that. I knew him from that one thing. I would never watch a Norm Macdonald stand-up because I know for a fact a lot of it they probably wouldn't laugh, because I'm used to Norm Macdonald on SNL, where not only did they not laugh sometimes, they booed him. And I love that shit. My favorite Norm moments was when he would tell a joke, usually about women, or O.J. Simpson. And he would get booed. But his O.J. Simpson...
Or Michael Jackson.
But him riding them to the fucking end, man, that made me laugh. I laugh like crazy. And I would think, like, what's wrong with y'all? Why aren't y'all laughing? That is clearly funny. He told a joke at... I posted this on my Facebook as well. It was at the ESPY Awards.
The ESPYs?
Why you have Norm Macdonald hosting the ESPY Awards in general?
That was a terrible idea.
He accepted that and laughed all the way to the fucking bank. He knew the moment he got it. It was like, it's on.
And he was like the only one laughing because no one really laughed at his jokes because they were just uncomfortable because he was just eviscerating the entire event. He told the final joke in that clip. If you know me, if you're on my Facebook, if you go watch it, the final joke of that clip, and I don't know who it was, but it was whoever won the Heisman Trophy that year. He said, but hey, you won the Heisman Trophy. No one can take that away from you. And he says, unless you murder your wife in the future, and then they will. And, like, everyone laughs, but it's that uncomfortable laugh of, like, we know
We should laugh.
Right. Oh.
Also, I want to say, for the record, Tanner was correct.
Oh,
it was a strategic. Yeah,
you be grateful, Tanner. Well, you be gracious.
Girl Locations was the first one, and Mitch Altogether. Mitch Altogether was the second one, because I think he only did two, right? Or was there? I think there was a third posthumous one, maybe.
Yeah, that one was an entire special that he did for. It was one of the late night shows.
Yeah.
Like, he did, like, a 30-minute thing on one of the late-night shows.
I think it was it Comedy Central?
And then he did have a third, so I'm thinking just CDs. There was Strategic Girl Locations, Mitch Altogether, and then there was one that came out after he died, a posthumous one in 2008 called Do You Believe in Gosh?
Yeah.
I knew there was a third one. Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on from this, but I have one more Norm Macdonald joke I want to share.
Moth?
No,
moth bit?
No, I think we should do that tomorrow on Horse Time, if you can make it.
I'm not. I can tell you right now, I will not.
Maybe
this is the bitter end of it, man.
Or maybe you could record it beforehand.
I can probably do that.
And we'll put it at the beginning. We'll put it at the beginning of the audio show.
That story, for the record, Matt Sism, in case he happens to be watching, because if he's watching a show, this is one of the potential ones. A buddy of his did that at his wedding, did the entire thing, like, as a speech. And years later, Tara, you might remember Tara Udy. You remember Quinn Udy used to work at GameStop? Tara did, too. So Tara's Matt's cousin. And Tara and I worked together at River Radio back when I was there. Actually, she was doing the morning show on Kiss FM as the first time I ever got to go on the air and do a morning show. So when she and Quinn moved out to California, where they live now, they were actually going into a restaurant once, and they ran into, they were leaving a restaurant, and they ran into Norm Macdonald and somebody who was with him, was another comedian. But he, Norm, and this other guy were trying to get a table, and the place was packed, and they were leaving. She recognizes it's Norm, gets up and goes over and tells him, hey, we're leaving, you can have our table. And he was so appreciative that he stopped and talked to her for a little bit. She told him about this happening at Matt's wedding. And apparently her phrase was that Norm just busted out laughing. It was like, you have to have a video of that. I want to be able to see it. Well, they didn't. Nobody had recorded it because when Matt got married, you know, cell phone cameras weren't all that prevalent. But he still left them 2 tickets to go see him perform stand-up the night afterward. And so they went and saw him, said it was hilarious. I don't know, it was just cool. That little moth bit just went so far beyond, like, it was such a dumb thing to do on a stand-up show. And
yeah,
it worked.
If you get a chance to just look up Norm Macdonald Moth, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. It's also absolutely ridiculous. But the joke I'm going to leave it on is the one that that always got me. It was on SNL, and I'm gonna mess up the entire quote, but I'll give you the gist of it. He was once again talking about OJ, because that was my favorite thing on SNL, was the OJ jokes. Because I watched that shit religiously, the OJ Simpson trial. And I was a kid, so that was really weird. Why my parents let me do that, I don't know. I have a very traumatic childhood, we all know this. So, he's talking about, they're in the courtroom, and I forget what it was, but they're showing, like, pictures of the dead bodies, they're showing the crime scene and all that, and OJ Simpson was very emotional about it. He said he was very emotional because he realized that he would never get to murder her again. And I thought, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, so savage! The day he died, I wanted to go watch all his OJ stuff. And I happened to find one where it started off with... And he just said... I'm going to put into sports terms why he got fired from Saturday Night Live. He went fucking with OJ. And it just rips into a whole just 35 minutes of OJ material.
Yeah,
anybody else catching like every 5 words from Tanner?
I caught most of it.
Yeah, I got the gist of it, yeah. But you are cutting in and out.
A little bit. But Tanner, I did see that same video. I've watched it before, and it is hilarious because he is, they call him Adam Savage. It was ridiculous. All right. Norm Macdonald, very, very sad. I really hate it, and I hate cancer. We've said fuck cancer before. It feels redundant to say it again, but definitely it exists. Let's move on, though. We got to move on to happier topics. Jesse, did you hear about the CBS show The Activist?
No, I haven't. I specifically didn't look it up once you talked about it earlier because I want to give you my fresh response.
So CBS, they brainstormed the idea for this show called The Activist. I had not heard of it until today when they announced that they are changing the format. Because here's what the format was. It had three judges, Usher, Ursh. I don't remember her name. And I won't try to pronounce it without remembering it because I'll butcher it. Someone look it up. Starts with a P.
Priyanka Chopra.
There you go.
Oh, the yoga guru, right?
I think she's an actress, isn't she? I don't remember. I don't know.
She married one of the Jonases.
She did marry Jonas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Julianne
Hough.
Huff.
It's pronounced Huff. It's pronounced Huff. Yes, it is.
That's better than what I said. I said
I worked in country music long enough to know it's pronounced Huff.
It's better than what I said. I said Hauf the other day, which was wrong.
Hauf.
So they had these three judges, and the concept of the show was that they were going to take different activists from different walks of life and put them in a competition with each other, and the winner got to like present their activism on a grand stage to try to help like their whatever it is that they're wanting to do, which I don't know who thought that was a good idea, because as from The Good Place, Jamil, Johnny, was it?
Jamil Nanjiani?
No, that's Camille Nanjiani.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Jamila Jamil?
Yes.
Is that who you're talking about?
Man, I got a bad memory tonight. There's too much illicit. So... as she put it, she said, like, who thought it was a good idea to spend all of this money and time on this competition to put these activists against each other for the chance to present their, you know, their cause, when you could have taken that money and that effort and put it into the activism? Like, this is an awful idea, and apparently CBS finally agreed, and they've changed the format to now it's going to be a documentary showing these different activists doing what they do in presenting, you know, their whatever. Like, I just, that just gets to me, that CBS thought it was a good idea to put activists, to pit activists against each other. Like, whoever wins our contest, because it was going to be like Survivor, where they had weekly contests and stuff, whoever wins these gets to make a difference for the people they care about, and everybody else can fuck themselves. Like that...
Well, yeah, they that got just caught, got and so now they have to do something else. And that's what that is. This is not, oh, this is a better idea. This is, oh, man, if we do what we've got right now, we're going to be in trouble. We got caught. Ah, we better do this instead.
So somebody yeah, hit that, and they're like, all right, so hold up. Nobody thought about the optics on this one, huh?
I was really hoping to see the Black Lives Matter versus, like, homelessness. I'm rooting for Black Lives Matter.
And
fuck the homeless, you non-functioning parasites of society.
And you, human trafficking coming up in a strong third, like, what?
Horrible.
That's bad.
Horrible what's happening right now.
It's bad. That's literally a show. What about this? Like, Black Lives Matter is important. Yeah. But what about human trafficking?
I'm sorry. I just thought that there was that was very funny to me.
That's a terrible idea for a show.
Yeah.
Well, this is the same network. Correctly,
there was a reality show that somebody tried to get off the ground. I want to say it was Fox some time ago. I'm not going to get all the details right or what the name was. They ended up getting raked over the coals for it, too. But it basically came down to, like, you have... it was people who were in dire need of money, and they had to, like, basically plead their cases. I mean, it's basically the same concept, but it was just people. It wasn't, like, activist causes. And they had to plead their case for why they should get the money.
Entertain us, and we'll give you cash.
Yeah, well, the unwritten thing was, like, oh, it turns out that, you know, whoever makes the better case, because you had to make the case for the opposite person or something, well, then they're going to win. I can't remember all the details. I wish I could think of the name of it, but when this came up, it was the first thing that came to my mind, that before it ever even got off the ground, somebody went, why? Why would you do that? That's a horrible idea. Why don't you just take the money you have, pick some of the people who need it, and dispense it that way?
Well, because then they can't get advertiser money. That's what they want.
Yeah, because like the money that's they're giving out to people is significantly smaller than the money they're going to get from the ad revenue.
Right. In the grand scheme of like bad ideas for a game show, I think that ranks up there pretty high. There was another one that I don't know if you guys remember. I think it was called Moment of Truth, where they had people get on a lie detector test live on the air and answer increasingly more disturbing questions. And I remember this show because it only lasted a couple of episodes. For obvious reasons, they had a woman on there with her husband in the audience, and as they asked her more and more questions, the question they asked her was literally like, do you still love your husband? And have you slept with other people?
I do remember that because they had them hooked up to a lie detector.
Yes, and when they asked her, like, do you still love your husband or do you still wish you were with your ex-boyfriend? She was paused, and the host was even saying, you can just take the money and walk away. You don't have to answer this question. And she answered, and she said, I still love my husband, and it was wrong. She lost all the money. Her husband divorced her. And, like, they canceled the show not long after that because I can't imagine why. What a fuck. And the fact that people would go on that show and do that shit shows you how desperate people are for money or attention or whatever. And it's just sad, man.
It's one of those things, like, where you would really hope that show was, like, you know, Jerry Springer.
Fake.
Like, yeah, 95% of that was fake.
Austin Lane, if you're watching. We know.
Yeah, like they're just getting money to go on the show, like and you know, like cause a scene, and it's funny, it's entertaining for everybody. Cause the kids love squalor.
That's why they like James Wan, to take it full circle.
That's right.
So yeah, that was stupid. And that motherfucker of the week, I forgot to mention the motherfucker of the week, Jesse.
The motherfucker of the week is it Nicki Minaj? Is that who that was? Oh, everybody froze.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just holding
just
still.
Shannon froze.
I'm just holding still. Yeah, I'm just really good at it.
That's messed.
Yes, it's Nicki Minaj. Yeah. So, oh God! All right, let me backtrack a little bit. So Nicki Minaj was invited to the Met Gala. She tweeted out that she wasn't going because they required vaccinations. She said she's not going to get vaccinated just to go to the Met Gala. If she's going to get vaccinated, it's because she's done enough research and feels comfortable doing it. So there was some pushback on that. They're like,
Nicki Minaj, the epidemiologist.
Yeah, like, why would you not get the vaccination? There's proof, evidence, whatever, whatever. So she told a story about how she had COVID and of how awful it was and all the, and that. And they're still getting backlash on it. So she silenced all the critics by telling a personal story about her cousin's friend in Trinidad who was getting married. And he got the vaccine, and it made him impotent, and his testicles swole, and his wife called off the wedding and ruined his life. That happened. Except the health department of Trinidad came out today and said that did not happen. And that they've wasted so much time and effort trying to prove this or disprove it, and it absolutely didn't happen. Nicki Minaj just, she literally pulled up, well, my cousin's friend's dad said this. And that is the problem. That is the problem with vaccination and vaccination deniers is like they're not really going for evidence. They're going for anecdotes that they've heard somewhere else or stories that they've heard from friends. And yeah. then they present that to their audience. And even though most people are smart enough to say, well, that's stupid, how many people that follow Nicki Minaj are going to believe that and go, well, I'm not getting vaccinated. I want my testicles to get bigger.
And then, like, a surprising percentage of those people, even after the health department would have come out and said, like, that didn't happen. They're like, oh, that's a cover-up. That's a big pharma cover-up right there.
That's fake news.
Fake news.
Nicki Minaj, if I remember correctly, was also the one who said that she saw Mrs. Krabappel and Principal Skinner in the closet making babies, and one of the babies looked at her. I can't do it. Shannon starts laughing, and I lose it. Never mind.
Well, the baby looked at you?
I saw one of the babies and the baby looked at me.
What they don't tell you is that also Nicki Minaj's boyfriend is a registered sex offender, and there's for attempting to rape a 15-year-old girl a little while back. And right now, he's trying to get that taken off his record, and there's this big legal battle. So is it a coincidence that this comes up? Because this has been in all the headlines. Was Nicki Minaj's boyfriend, you know, the rapist? And now no one's talking about that. They're talking about Nicki Minaj, the idiot. And I guess that's better than everyone calling your boyfriend a rapist. I guess.
Well, yeah, because she can recant all of that. They can come back out and be like, oh, that didn't happen. All she has to do now, tomorrow, is go to the press and be like, oh, damn, they lied to me, y'all. And then it'll be, oh, she's been through so much, you know, she had such bad information, and I mean, that's easy to recant. You can get rid of that,
and
no problem.
I like Nicki Minaj. I like her music. I think she's funny. She was on SNL, and she was hilarious. So, you know, that has absolutely nothing to do with this, but that's disappointing.
She's playing the game.
Yeah.
Just like everybody does. I mean, that is... PR 101. Any PR person worth their salt, and she can afford an awful lot of salt, is gonna lead her through this no problem. So yeah, that's call it a conspiracy theory if you will, but that's one of those that, like, which ones do you believe? This is top of my list right now. This is definitely the thing that's happening.
All right, we're not gonna talk too much about it because I promised that tonight was gonna be a fun show, and so far it's been very fun. We're all in a great mood. We got a top five. Lindsay, do you want to go ahead and fill us in on the top five? Let Jesse know, because he still doesn't know what it is.
I'm still clueless, man. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it nowhere.
So,
to be fair, I went back and looked at that. The reason Jesse didn't see it is because
it was buried
right afterwards when Shannon and I launched into that bit, and I sent like 15 gifs of Eric Andre going, what was that saved?
And I knew it was going to happen. I knew it wasn't going to get seen.
Because I scrolled up and I was like, oh yeah, I saw all that. And I didn't scroll up farther.
As always, I get lost in the feed. But this one is actually an idea.
Oh, okay.
So we are picking five artists from our playlist that we don't believe the other members of this group have heard of.
Hidden gems.
And along with it, you have to give a song recommendation.
Cradle of Fucking Civilization.
This might be the hardest one you've come up with because we have a former DJ on the show.
I know.
I worked in commercial radio, man. That's not... In fact, if nothing else, I'm probably the least threatening one here. It's the guys who work at jobs where they can listen to whatever the hell they want all day long that you got to watch out for. this one to my right because it's Shannon, and this one down in the bottom because it's Jesse. There it is. Shelby's hand just came through. That was perfect. I should have pointed wherever her. It's just me.
And see, like, my problem is, yeah. It's what I was talking about in the group chat. Like, I have a bad habit of, like, if I really, really like something, I immediately think of, like, who else would like this and mass send it. Like, I've sent so many things to, like, the group chat. I'm like, guys, I found this new fucking thing. Check this out. And because, yeah, like, Hunter said, I work at a job where I can just sit and listen. I have an earbud in all day. I am listening to music basically, like, as long as I'm at my desk, I'm listening to music. So
he likes
he's
to
got
share.
One hidden under those cans right now. He just keeps it running.
He's got that wireless ear. Man, wireless earbuds, like, I thought they would be the dumbest fucking thing ever. But I absolutely love them, especially for the office, because I don't have a cable going anywhere. I've got the one bud in my ear, and I'm just listening to music, and it's great.
Look, I'm going to confess to something. There's been times where I've been at work, and it's just dead, and there's a podcast or music going on in my ear.
You can do that! I can't!
I'm sorry.
Thanks to my Bluetooth sunglasses and regular glasses, I can literally listen to music all the time, and no one knows, really, unless they get.
Oh, they do, because you have your volume cranked so loud.
I was about to say, unless they get within 20 feet of me.
Where the fuck is that music coming from?
Why is there music pouring out of that man's face?
But I came up with a list of stuff that, like, you guys have almost certainly heard me talk about, but. Maybe you haven't taken me.
Actually, listen to. I've got a couple on my list that way because I know I've mentioned these people before, but I doubt anyone has actually gone and listened. So
I know, like, two that I had to leave off, like, because I know I have forced Planet Booty and Twerp on all of you. So I guess
anybody that was at the first big party at the house has heard that because it's the only thing that played that night. We just let it run.
I've got one on here that people are going to know who he is, but.
I've got two on here.
Yeah, cut off at the end. I got one on here that.
Do it again, Tanner.
I was saying I've got one on my list that some people on this list, on this group, may know, but they just don't know he's a singer.
William Shatner. Don Johnson.
Don Knotts. Wait.
Elvis Presley.
Lily.
All right. So. Since this was technically my idea,
all those beach movies.
Since this was technically my idea, I figured it would be probably beneficial if I went ahead and suggested Jesse starts.
You always know.
I do. I had no illusions there. All right, I'm going to start with The Deer Hunter. That's D-E-A-R. Tanner got so happy and it's so sad.
Yeah. Yes.
The Deer Hunter. It's a.
Yes. I'm listening, Jesse. What? Hunter. What are you trying to tell me? I was gonna say, you're so nice about it, but what is your name? What is your first choice, Jesse? Please, we don't have all night. All right, I gotta go. I gotta leave.
I think that would be best.
And I decided to put, like, a song from each of the bands that I've got on here. Just to give somebody something to check out in the case they want to listen to them.
That was the point. That was the point of it.
Yeah. I thought it was just artists.
Peggy Hill, you didn't decide.
And you have to pick a song.
And sweet. I'm glad I did the extra credit that wasn't actually extra.
Hunter.
I didn't tell that part either, and I also did the extra credit.
Hunter and Jesse's opinion.
I understood the assignment.
In Jesse's opinion, Black Friday is the busiest shopping day of the year.
Oh, do not compare me to Peggy Hill. Please, God, anything but that. Go Get Your Gun from The Deer Hunter.
Okay.
Thank All right. Hunter.
Thanks, Hunter. Deer,
you're
sweet
welcome. I still wish you'd just say the name of the artist, but we'll figure it out, I guess.
We'll fix it in post. All right, Shelby Chan.
Shotgun Willie and Cheat Codes for Hoes is the song.
Cheat Codes for Hoes. Goodness.
I don't care what it sounds like. I'm in. Sold.
I like it.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Chelsea.
I'm not going to say the name of that song out loud.
Shelby.
My door will come slamming open. What the hell are you listening to?
Shelby, send me the name of that, because that's going to be the opening song for tonight's show. I don't even care what it sounds like. That's the opener. Cheat codes for hoes.
Yep.
All right, we're going to move on left on my screen to Tanner. Actually, Tanner, before you do, Michaela has a couple. I'm going to read some of those off real quick. And if you guys are in the chat and you want to tell us some of yours, we'll read them off in the air. Here's Michaela's picks. Fishman, 1 pound fish. Something fishy about that one. KSI Holiday. I have heard of KSI because he knocked out one of the Paul brothers, so much respect.
Yeah.
Lil Cap featuring Wicked. Bodies. And P Money, Big Bands. You successfully did the assignment, Michaela, because I had no idea who most of those were. All right.
Also, I've got a notepad up. I'm going to go ahead and write these down. We might post them somewhere, but this is mostly for me because, as I've mentioned before, I love new music.
I'm doing the same, just out of curiosity.
Here we go, new music. Essentially Simon. Okay, never mind.
No.
Tanner, what do you got?
Jeremy Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the song.
He does a cover of It's All Coming Back to Me.
Wait, It's All Coming Back to Me. Is that Meatloaf?
Celine Dion. Oh.
And that Meatloaf?
Meatloaf did a version as well, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Meatloaf.
I don't listen to that.
Meatloaf was
Meatloaf
first.
Is the version that I knew. Yeah. I didn't know Celine Dion did it.
Yeah, no, Celine Dion also. Her music video is like...
Celine Dion did that song.
It's a terrifyingly epic video of a motorcycle crash in a storm.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Was Meatloaf riding the motorcycle like a bat out of hell?
Yeah, and that's how he did the cover. Yeah, it was a two-part. They did a switcheroo thing. Shannon, there was dudes in there. Anyway,
Jeremy Jordan is the guy that played Win off Super.
Oh, this is the guy you're talking about that we didn't know was a singer.
Yes.
Okay, and what was the name of the song you suggested?
All Coming Back to Me.
Okay, All Coming to Back. All Coming to Back.
Coming to Back.
Dibbick.
Oh, that broke me. I wasn't ready for that one.
All right, Hunter, what do you got?
Unfortunately, I didn't think Tanner was going to be here tonight, so he's the only one who will probably recognize his name. Maybe it may take him a minute. Chad Lawson is going to be my first artist. Oh, good. He looked away. Perfect. The song that I'm going to nominate for this one is called The Path to Highgate. Chad Lawson is a pianist. He strictly does company stuff.
I just and
it's gone. He's out. He does all the accompaniment for the Lore podcasts with Aaron Mankey.
Oh, okay. That's why Tanner would. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes, that's why he would recognize it.
Yeah, because
The Path to Highgate. Sorry, go ahead.
No,
not yet. Because
you're good. You're
no, wait, not yet. Hold on, Tanner. Hold on 1 second.
Come back.
Wait, hold on 1 second.
It's fine. He can come back.
Well, because I want to mention
mixed messages.
I want to mention once again that Tanner's family was mentioned on Lore because they got murdered or something. So now he can put it back on. All right, go ahead, Tanner.
Also, I listened to that episode and I didn't hear it anyway.
No.
All right.
He was my fifth grade grandfather.
And Hunter, what is the song again?
The Path to Highgate.
Okay.
Highgate is one word. The Path to Highgate. Yeah. It's one of those that if you ever listen to the show, as soon as that song starts, you will recognize it from there. But no, legitimately, it's Chad Lawson is just a really, really great composer. And I've listened to, and just pianist in general. If you need something to kind of just relax to, something to just kind of vibe to, this is a good one because it's all instrumental. So
awesome. Yeah. All right. My first pick, I'm going to go ahead and the one that was on the cover today, because I posted a graphic of what was going to be on the show, and Hunter said, I have no idea who the person on the end is. Well, that's my first pick, and I successfully did it. Lindsay's the only one that knows it, and I'll count that. If one person knows it, I think it still counts. I almost did Patent Pending because of Jesse introducing me to Hey Mario. But like,
it's such a good song.
But that's the only song I have by them, so I don't think that would be right. My first pick is a Japanese artist named Tommy Heavenly Six. She is incredibly good. She's done like she's done music for animes and stuff, but she's also just a legitimate like performer.
Isn't her whole band like
American and white? Yes, very emo. She, I'll send you a picture of her. Like in that picture that I posted, she's in her mid-40s, and she looks like she's 20. She's adorable. She is ageless. Yeah, she kind of looks like Japan's Avril Lavigne, except I like her.
Avril Lavigne?
I like Avril Lavigne. But the song that I would recommend to you from Tommy Heavenly Six, it's my favorite song by her, and it's legit one of my favorite songs in general. It's called Monochrome Rainbow. Really good song. The video's awesome. If you get a chance, check it out. All right. Lindsay, what do you got?
What was the song again? Sorry.
Monochrome Rainbow. Yeah.
I am going to start off with Monkey Magic. Magic spelled MJIK. And their song is Eden. It is one of the ending themes to the new reboot of Fruits Basket and is fabulous. But if you don't want to listen to it in Japanese, there's also a very, very good cover by Dima Lancaster.
Okay. And that's Monkey Magic?
Monkey Magic.
But it's M-A-J-I-K.
Yes.
Monkey. I thought you just said M-J-I-K. Okay.
Nope. M-A-J-I-K. He's actually Canadian. Who moved to Japan to teach English and just lives over there, but most of the tracks are all in Japanese.
So he's a weeboo. Huh.
Kind of, yeah.
All right, back to Jesse.
Hey! All right, my next one is going to be Thank You, Scientist. The song I'd recommend is Mr. Invisible. This group, I didn't actually mention with the Deer Hunter, both of these bands have opened for Coheed and Cambria.
I'm just actively trying to break Jesse now. Every time he says it, yes.
It's going to work. It's going to work every single time. Thank You, Scientist. It's like big band and prog rock had a baby, and it's Thank You, Scientist. And it's very, very interesting and fun to listen to. The Deer Hunter also is... there it is. I was about to say he didn't react. That has kind of like a Mumford and Sons feel to it. It's kind of folksy. Thank You, Scientist, Mr. Invisible.
We like folksy.
Just to go along with the bit now, I desperately wish that my wife hadn't already gone to bed, because every time you said Thank You, Scientist, I would have had her come in and go, "You're welcome. What I do?
Yes. What?"
Before we go to Shelby, I do want to mention Ethan Craigmiles is in the chat. Hello, Ethan. He set five songs up for us as well. I want to read those off. I don't know how to pronounce the first one. 100 Gex?
Gex? Gex. Got to be Gex, right?
100 Gex the Geckos. One Step Closer
like a
remix.
Racial slur. Like, am I crazy?
Oh, you bunch of Gex. Get off my lawn.
No!
No.
You apple pickers.
It's not a thing! You can't get mad about it. It's not a thing.
It sounds like a thing, though.
Exactly. But then again, anything like in that context is going to sound like a thing.
He's also got the Front Bottoms Flashlight, not Fleshlight, Flashlight, Jasmine Bean, Princess Castle. I think that was in Mario 3. Dated, Ghost Whale, and Jesse, you say that one.
Suey.
Morgan.
Suey?
No, god damn it, no. No. All right. Shelby, go ahead.
I'm kind of torn. I have another band on here, and just because of the name of it, I want to throw that one out there, but I haven't listened to as much of their stuff. I think I'm just going to do it. Tiny Meat Gang, Walkman.
I think you're picking these based on the humor value.
I really like Shotgun Willie, though. She Codes for Hose is a good song.
It's the opening theme for tonight. What do you know? All right, Tanner. I got it. Thank you. All right, Tanner, can you beat her Tiny Meat? Tanner, go ahead.
I'm choosing Jax.
I got doozies.
Is it J-A-X or plural?
J-A-X. 90s kids. I've listened to the song over and over.
Oh, I know the song. I did not know the artist. Now I do.
Yeah. So I didn't realize who the artist thing, was. It? She's a TikTok star. I didn't realize who it was until I went to look up the video and. Oh.
Sorry, I'm Tanner. I need you to know that was so much better because you cut out, and so it was like you went, and so I, and then suddenly just. Oh!
Yeah, I'm definitely taking a clip of that and putting it on a soundboard. Oh! Just whenever I need it. Oh! Oh!
It's like he's doing his Andrew Dice Clay cosplay.
Andrew Dice Clay. Oh! Oh! All right, Tanner, what was the name of that song?
Jack's 90s Kid.
Okay. Hunter, it's up to you.
All right. My next choice is going to be Elizabeth and the Catapult. These guys opened for Sarah Bareilles for a long time, and if you like Sarah Bareilles, they sound an awful lot like her, only they're a band. The naming is, and I don't know why this is the comparison, I don't know a better way to explain it, it's like Cassandra and Crucial Taunt from Wayne's World. So Elizabeth, and I forget what her last name is, she's the lead singer, she gets separated from the band is called the Catapult. The song that I'm going to go with is called You and Me. It is their analogous version of Sarah Bareilles' love song. So it's the single, it's very catchy, it's very upbeat, but the lyrics have this very underlying tone of something's off here, kind of. You and Me is very simple. It's this very upbeat thing about this little couple, and it sounds great, and then you listen to it, and it's like, oh, that's not good at all. Things are very bad there, aren't they? They also just released a new album in 2021 earlier this year called Sincerely E, which I just found out about today in the midst of researching some of this, and it's really good. It is. I get worried about the phrase pandemic inspired nowadays because you just never know where that's going. In this case, it was they were all separated. They worked on a lot of stuff together because they had a lot of creativity. They had to get it out, and then they put this album together remotely, and it's really, really good. Again, if you like Sarah Bareilles, you'll like Elizabeth and the Catapult. Very poppy, indie, piano-driven rock type stuff. It's good.
I wish we had done this show a year plus ago, when I didn't tell you guys about Poppy constantly. Because I would have loved to put Poppy on my list, but unfortunately I can't.
But we knew about Poppy. Remember, we told you Poppy was going to be on NXT.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's where that started.
Yeah.
Brandy Calvert says, Jackson Wang, love you 3000. And then just for Ethan, I hope he's still listening. I got to do it for him. It gets the blood pumping to my loins. Oh, it's from Saints Row. All right. I originally put the Nova Twins on mine, but because I made so many people listen to it recently, I scratched it off, and I went with one that I kind of like more anyway. And I'm gonna pick. And I know a couple of you have heard the song. Lindsay just heard it the other day. Tiger Army. Tiger Army and their song Happier Times, because that is my go-to I'm depressed song. Is this if you really want to be sad about your life, if you're on the edge and you think you just need that extra push, listen to Tiger Army, god damn it, Happier Times. It's a great fucking song.
And yet you just said it'll make you want to kill yourself.
No.
That's basically how you described it.
No, I said if you're on the edge and you need a little push to put you in that mood, I would never... I apologize.
They'll push you back onto the building.
No.
Not off of it.
That's
not the way you're wording it.
You need to push to get out of that mindset.
No, into that mindset, because I need to be in that... I need to be in a dark mindset to really enjoy music like that. No, I'm not saying kill yourself. I want to say right now, dead serious, if it came across that way, I apologize. I am past the point of making suicide jokes. It's not funny, and I apologize for doing it in the past. So, if I came across that way, I apologize.
This is a horrible conversation we just had.
It is. Just listen to the song, Happier Times, by Tiger Army, featuring Big Nick Lindsay. Take it away.
Okay, so my next one you guys have heard me mention before. It is Weaver, not Weezer, Weaver, W-E-A-V-E-R. And the song I recommend is Another World. If you like piano and like upbeat stuff, that's what this is.
I do like them. They have another song I really enjoyed called Buddy Holly.
Another World was what I was listening to in the car when I picked you up and you turned it off.
Oh, it was.
I think I know that song. Isn't that the one that goes like, fuck, shit, piss.
No. No,
no, that's the Beatles, remember?
No, no, Hunter, that's not that song.
Oh, yeah? What does it say?
Oh! All right, Jesse, number three. Lindsay, hey! I'm so sorry. We're not making fun of your music. I only turned that off because it sounded like a bunch of cats getting raped in my ear.
Angst.
God, the only reason that I turned that song off.
God damn.
I mean, to be fair, you turn off whatever I play, so it's not like it matters.
Yeah, when Dana gets in the car, Shannon has to be the DJ.
Uh-huh.
I also want to apologize for that joke, only because, Lindsay, it wasn't that bad. I only turned it off because, here's why I legitimately turned it off. Because instead of plugging it into the stereo, which she could do, she took her cell phone and put it in the little cup holder and played it through her phone.
My hookup is in the bottom of my phone, and it doesn't stay, and it pulls the thing out of the port because it's broken, and I end up hearing is static. So, yes, I listened to it the stupid way through my phone cranked up in the cup holder.
All right. Jesse, you're next.
All right. I know I've made at least Shelby and Shannon listen to this or these guys, but The Midnight.
Yeah.
And the song I'm going to hit is Jason. If you're, it's called Jason. If you like that synth wave, like 80s style music,
I do.
Then please check these guys out. They're actually Johnny Atwood. I don't know if he still listens to the show, but he's the one that recommended them to me when I talked about being on a synth wave kick on a show like 2 years ago. But yeah, The Midnight is phenomenal, and I highly recommend everybody check them out, especially, like I said, if you like that synthwave stuff.
Yeah, I've got a couple songs of theirs on my playlist now, and I can't tell you any of them other than that one, but I do like them.
It's good stuff.
All right, Shelby, go ahead.
Oliver Tree and Alien Boy is the song I always suggest to people. I think right now it's actually being played on the radio a lot, which is weird because it wasn't that long ago. But I really like Oliver Tree.
I can confirm that song is very good.
Okay. I dig it. Tanner.
So I told Brandy to shh because she picked at least one of the artists. Jackson Wang's.
You cut out, dog.
My internet signal's staying great.
You said Jackson Wang, right?
Yeah, Jackson Wang.
I don't think it's your internet. Good. I think it's your mic. You gotta get closer to that bad boy.
Or just change adjust the sensitivity for the auto pickup.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Hold it in your hands.
Yeah, Jackson Wang's pretty pleased.
Pretty pleased. Yeah, I think you just need to adjust the sensitivity for your mic through Discord.
I don't think I don't think Tanner's pick should count because I've heard of Jackson Wang recently.
Somebody was just telling me about it.
Damn it, Brandy!
All right, Hunter, you're next. Number three.
All right. This is probably the closest I'm going to get to. Some people may know this one, but I didn't. I had never heard of him until Sarah introduced me to him many, many years ago when we first got together. MAE is the name of the band. It's an acronym, MAE. It stands for Multisensory Aesthetic Experience. The song I'm going to pick from them, and there's a whole bunch of them, but I'm going to go with Anything is what it's called. It's actually the name of the song. It's called Anything. MAE is, if you really like, oh, I hope she's not listening. I feel like she would equally approve and disapprove of this comparison. Dashboard Confessional is probably the closest comparison I can give you. They're very, very emo, but very, like, pop-punk emo, kind of. And then they always, like, weirdly get grouped, as a lot of these other groups do, into, they're called Christian rock, and it's like, they're not. That's not what that is. but because, like, one guy one time was like, yeah, I'm Christian, they're like, yeah, totally, they're Christian rock. No, MAE has an incredible album called The Everglow, where it's one of the few albums that, you know, when you get that one CD that you can listen to, just let it run and never skip a track, never move it. The Everglow is one of those albums. If you like anything of theirs, you will like this thing from beginning to end. And it opens with this really strong, just super hard piano driven tune. And then it just carries that energy all the way to the end. But Anything is like the next to the last song on that album, if I think. And to me, that's their best, a best example of their range.
I want to say that I have it on good authority, Tanner, that the only reason you know of Jackson Wang is because of Brandy.
Yeah.
Like, I know that because she just posted that in the chat. All right. I got the hat on. I'm looking a little bit 90s rap right now, and I'm going to take it back to a 90s rap artist that I'm pretty sure none of you have ever heard of, except for Lindsay, because I'm pretty sure I made her listen to it. Graveyard Shift. Graveyard Shift, it was a group that came from the Mo Thugs line, which was Bone Thugs and Harmony's record label, and they only put out one album, which was never released. It was deemed too dark. It was too dark and violent. Like, the music was too dark that the record company never released it. But you can find it on YouTube. And they did have a couple songs leaked that were on other albums that Mo Thugs did. And the song that I picked is called Cop Stories. Graveyard Shift is at a fantastic rap group. And I wish they had gotten more playtime. One of them was murdered not long after they signed with Mo Thugs. So the group disbanded almost immediately. But that one album that they have out, and I'm forgetting the name, I think it was Dark Waters, I think. I may be wrong about that. But it is a fantastic album if you like really dark hip-hop and rap. Like, and when I say dark, I mean, like, it feels gritty. It feels bleak. And Cop Stories is my favorite song from that album. So definitely check that out if you're in the mood for that. Lindsay.
Okay. My next one is Steve Vai. He is a instrumental guitarist.
Yeah, I know Steve Vai.
Do you?
Yeah, I know Steve Vai. My dad would whip me if I acted like I didn't know Steve Vai. Are you kidding me?
Well,
if one person knows, it still one person count. It still counts. We've decided
That's fine. Well, I as stupid as it is, what I discovered him on was the Bill and Ted Bogus Journey soundtrack. He does the Reaper. That's fair. The song I like. But just for you guys, the song I'll recommend is Bad Horsey.
I'll take any song about horses at this point.
Yes.
All horse songs work for me. So is he just a guy? Like, he's not in a band?
Pro horse.
Well, yeah.
Everything that I listen to has just been the guitar instrumental. And there's, like, the harder guitar, the softer guitar.
Somebody.
Probably.
Yeah, he was with, he played with Frank Zappa for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figured if anyone knew it would be Hunter, but.
Well, the DJ. Yeah,
he played with Whitesnake for a little while. Now, I didn't know this, to be fair. I'm looking it up just to be sure, but I was reasonably sure he played with the group. Played with Whitesnake for a while. David Lee Roth's Spinal Tap. He was part of Spinal Tap.
Oh, cool.
So yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
All right, Jesse, we're gonna take it back down to you. Number four.
Number four. I'm gonna do Tonight Alive, and the song I'm gonna recommend is Wasting Away. If you're a fan of, like, like a Flyleaf kind of a sound, maybe Paramore, somewhere in that range. I highly recommend checking this group out. It's an Australian girl with a pretty spectacular voice.
I like that.
I definitely recommend checking them out. It's got a lot of that vibe to it, like Flyleaf more so than probably like Paramore, but yeah, it's really good.
All right, Shelby.
Unlike Pluto. The Worst in Me.
What was that again?
Unlike Pluto, The Worst in Me.
Is this alt rock? What are we talking about?
This one is, yeah, it's more like alt rock. It's I'm having a hard time describing music because all of mine I like a little bit of everything kind of mixed in. So a lot of these are really weird.
I can confirm I've heard at least Oliver Tree, the Alien Boy. I would probably put that in Prague, but it's kind of its own thing.
Yeah, because he starts off in one thing and then he's just like, oh, now we're over here. Mm-hmm. Oh, now we're here.
So he's an ADD artist.
Yes, and that's kind of a lot of mine are like that.
That's why.
Except for my first piece.
I know it's not the same thing, but that's why part of the reason why I like Poppy so much, because she can go for, and I know you hate Poppy. I've been told by Jesse you hate Poppy. But
you've been told by Shelby that Shelby
screwed up that wall so many times, and now I have like PTSD from that wall. Like I don't even work there anymore. But I have dreams about redoing that whole wall.
She hates Poppy's merch.
I also have dreams of Poppy. All right, let's go to Tanner.
Okay, I got to throw some names out there just because I need to see if he. My microphone's right here.
Keep going. We'll edit it out.
Right, but when you're right there, you're good. That's the thing.
I was literally right here.
When you're right up front, you're good.
And my sensitivity is all the way up.
No, you were not.
You were back here, dog. Hey, right, hit it, Tanner. Hit us.
I was adjusting. Okay. I know. Okay, this one, I know at least one person. Nathaniel.
Okay, it's not his
distance. Yeah, I know Nathaniel Rateliff. He cut out again, but yes, I know Nathaniel Rateliff in the Night Sweats. Yes.
I do not.
Anybody else?
Nope.
Okay, Nathaniel Rateliff and Hey Mom.
I bet you guys do.
You do if you heard one song, but you just don't know it's them.
Yep. SOB. You've heard it. Son of a bitch. Give me a drink. All night.
It was
on a commercial for something for a while.
You'd be shocked at how few pop country songs I've heard, especially since...
Not country.
It's not?
Okay. Like very, Southern rock at best.
Blues, more blues.
Okay.
Not
SOB, you know, but...
How do you spell this person's last name?
R-A-T-E-L-I-F-F. E. There's an E.
Is there an E at the end?
Yeah. Oh. And then the Night Sweats.
I also get Night Sweats, but that's because of spiders.
That's actually not sweat. That's just the spiders.
They're
telling
you
that.
All right, Hunter, you're next. You're next, and then later tonight, I'm next.
My next two are going to be super easy on me because if you guys don't know May, you definitely don't know them. Videra is the next band. They opened for May for a long time when Sarah and I first got to see them. V-E-D-E-R-A, Videra. And the song I'm going to go with is called Song for a Friend. Yet another, as you guys were talking about earlier, female-driven, or female-led, I should say, piano-driven, light rock, like kind of alt-rock group. Yeah. Really nice. Another very, when you see them in concert, especially, it's one of those you just kind of zone out. Like they just kind of take over. We were, I forget the name of the place that we saw them in, the Firebird, maybe in St. Louis. Very small venue, seated up top of the balcony, and it was one of those things where from the moment we sat down and the groups started playing to the time that we left, like I felt completely disconnected from myself because the music just takes over. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm serious. So yeah, Videra, Song for a Friend. They've got a lot of good tunes, but that one is probably the most easy to get into and catchy.
Okay. Have any of you guys heard of Hands Like Houses?
Nope.
Can't say that I have.
Well, shit. I should have put them on my list then. Because I thought they were popular enough that everybody would have heard them. All right, well, I'm going to go with, and I know I've made you guys hear at least one or two of these songs, but it's a band that I feel like I found before anybody else, and I don't think anyone still listens to them, even though I mentioned them a couple times, and that's First to 11. First to 11 is, they do mostly cover songs from what I've seen.
Have them on my playlist.
I found First to 11 independently of you.
I would like to nominate Hands Like Houses.
Make me scribble in my new book.
Hands Like Houses.
Hands Like Houses, and the song is of Ocean. Is it Ocean Dust? I don't know. Just put Ocean Dust. That's
who listens to them.
I don't remember the names. They all sound like wah wah wah. All right.
Wah wah.
An episode of Charlie Brown.
Wah, wah, wah.
Because I remember when we discovered this, like, I sent you a, because it was when you were looking for covers of Paint It Black, and I had found, like, First to 11, like, it was a channel that I had been subscribed to. At least I think they did a Paint It Black cover, and I sent it to you. I'm like, hey, have you listened to this one?
I think you sent me Welcome Home.
Maybe, that would also be something I would do.
Because my original choice was The Spin Doctors. And the song was Two Princes, but I didn't know if anyone had heard that one. So, Lindsay, number four.
Princes
stand before you. Oh, sorry.
You done?
Mm-hmm.
Are you good?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm going back to my Asian one. Only ones I have that no one here knows. It's Mamoru Miyano. And the song of his I absolutely love is Moonlight. M-A-M...
Yeah, I know him.
M-A-M-O-R-U M-I-Y-A-N-O.
Hunter, didn't you play him on K-103?
But yeah. Hunter, as our anime expert.
Resident anime expert. I definitely know exactly the name that Lindsay said that I will now not repeat.
Well, he's a J-pop artist and voice actor and all that good stuff. But yeah, Moonlight is the one that I really like. His newest one that he put out recently, though, is Daydreams. But I like Moonlight a lot.
Yeah. Shelby got to see me whenever you said that name. Like, I hit M and then I stopped and, like, did the slow turn back, like, hold up. That went three syllables longer than I thought it was going to.
He's like, I'm sorry.
I like she hit us with
Jesse just went full. Go ahead.
Well, I'll say Lindsay hit us with the old Balin. She was like, yes.
Balin.
Jesse went full Chance the Rapper. Well, there's an M and a bunch of other letters.
So that's a no.
That's going to be a no.
No vowels.
All right, last one, Jesse.
How you gonna do that, J-pop?
My last one.
Namaste.
I don't know. It's a possibility that Hunter and Tanner have heard of this, but I think Tanner's the only one that would actually like this group. And by group, I mean person. Morgan Wade. Oh, cool. Tanner. I think you were the only person in this group that would actually like the singer. Morgan Wade, and the song I'll recommend is either The Night or Wilder Days. It's definitely like, I don't know, I would almost put it in outlaw country in that kind of like area, but yeah, I don't know. It's a different country. There's no did you look up a picture of her?
Oh,
I found a video.
Oh,
that's not what I was expecting.
No, yeah, she's awesome, and she has an incredible voice. She sings like a woman in her late 40s with a severe love of cigarettes and whiskey, but she's 26.
So it's Miley Cyrus.
Have you not heard of
Miley Cyrus?
No, I've never heard of her. What does she do?
Tanner would like to amend his list.
To Miley Cyrus, and I'm gonna pick
a tune called "Party in the USA."
Damn it! You got me.
I was gonna make a joke about there's a wrecking.
It's just me though. I'm the only one. It's just one. You can do it.
I don't know if Tanner left or if his internet left. His internet told Tanner that he was going out for some smokes.
Yeah, just in general though, like even if you don't like country much, because I am in general. No,
she's good. I just listened.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of country, but Morgan Wade is solid. My boss tuned me into her, and yeah, she's real solid. Has a phenomenal voice.
For a half a second there, when you started saying her name, I
I just disappeared.
Not a thing. Didn't hear a thing.
Hey, normally it cuts
we
back
got
in, but
for
it never
a second
did.
There, I and then just.
Like, we can see your mouth moving.
I'm looking at my voice connection. It's staying connected. Like, I don't know if mic cord's going bad or.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility.
That's a possibility.
All right, let's go.
For a split second.
I don't know if the mic cord is going bad or.
For a split second, I thought he. When he said Morgan, I thought.
God damn it! It did it again! No. What the fuck?
In the exact same spot! How does that happen?
No!
He doesn't want us to know!
No!
It sounds like it's a secret that will never be told.
Alright, Tanner, try it. Third time's the charm, baby.
I think he's gonna just text it. I think he's just gonna text it to the group. Slowly. With one finger. Nope, he just left.
No, he's gonna jump into Discord on his phone.
Oh.
Snyder said, Discord, you're going to work for me tonight, aren't you? And Discord said, no, I will not.
So, what I was saying was you started saying Morgan after making the comments about I may know who it is, and I just knew your ass was going to say Waylon, and I was going to check my computer.
You mean Wallen?
Racist.
Man, his name is Morgan Wallen, Tanner.
His name is.
So, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I highly considered that when Tanner started talking of muting him, so we still couldn't hear the secret. But I didn't do it. All right, Shelby,
also,
last one.
For whatever reason, Shelby does not have Tanner's video.
No, I have to look at Jesse's screen for it. It's not there.
That's extremely bizarre.
Well, it's your turn.
My final pick is The Orion Experience, The Cult of Dionysus. It's another one of those.
Good answer.
Have either of you heard of it?
No.
No. No, we're just doing the bit. We're doing the Family Feud bit. Good answer.
I
have not heard it.
It's another pop rock indie sounding band, and I absolutely love this one. I love this song. I listen to it all the fucking time on the way home from work for whatever reason. That's just always when I'm like, yep, now.
Yeah, Jesse, you're going to have to make a little picture of this, and we'll post it online. I think these are songs that people need to hear, so... We'll do that.
I got the whole tech thing right here.
Awesome.
My apologies for my second pick.
Why? What was the name again?
Tiny Meat Gang.
All right, Tanner, once again, let's see if you can beat that Tiny Meat.
How you going to do that in Discord?
Tanner, live from Merle Haggard's Potato.
Excuse you, potato.
Potato.
That broke Shelby.
It's the fact
anyway.
I only know because I watched your screen. If I hadn't seen it.
Anyway, my last pick is Mark Burchard, and the song is called Home. It is very Mississippi Valley blues style, and it is fantastic.
Spell that last name for me.
B-R-O-U-S-S-A-R-D.
You know how to spell that.
And Mark is M-A-R-T.
Yeah, Broussard.
It sounded to me like he said Broussard.
No, Broussard.
I love eating at Broussard's. You should know how to say that. Or spell that.
That's not what I heard him say. I mean, you're right. We do love eating at Broussard's. It's delicious.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I want to point out that I've been using Spotify to remember some of the songs that I don't remember because, you know, the artist. And I just noticed that I have a song on my playlist called Long Tall Sally. Do you guys know Long Tall Sally?
It sounds familiar.
You know, I'm not going to sing it, obviously. Hunter, you know, it's been in all the war movies. It's Little Richard. Well, for some reason, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed, but sometimes Spotify will update your songs in your playlists and change them. Because I have Bobby Brown's On Our Own, and they changed it to a remix, which is awful. That's not On Our Own. Well, they changed Long Tall Sally from Little Richard to the hashtags. It's not even the same artist anymore.
That's kind of bonkers.
I don't know.
Because they did it for
some that they've made it that I can't listen to them anymore, like whether it's a licensing thing or not, but I've got a bunch that are like blacked out now.
Yeah, it's definitely a licensing thing.
System of a Down had one. Where like Aerials, they split the main song Aerials into Aerials and R2, and that's like it completely deleted Aerials from my playlist. Like that song's blacked out; like it doesn't have rights to it anymore.
That is kind of weird. Spotify dumb. All right, Hunter, last pick.
All right, Videra opened for May and the first show that we saw them at, and then my last pick is going to be Windsor Drive. They opened for May on their farewell tour. Now, they're back doing some things together now, but at that point in time, they were splitting off to do separate projects. And so, once again, Sarah and I luckily got to see them at that last show. Windsor Drive is very similar to that, as you expect. Your opener is usually close to your band, so they've got that kind of Dashboard Confessional, very light, indie kind of pop-punk sound. The song I'm going to go with is called Bridges. It is the most indicative, I think, of their sound. And again, there's no better way for me to explain it. if you listen to like Future of Forestry or any of those bands, what was the one, the Postal Service, they're all very similar in that respect. Now I said those two and everybody's kind of looking and I'm like, shit, man, I had like four or five others I could have used. I'm thinking, but Wednesday Drive would never quite had the success that those other ones I mentioned did. So I think that they probably deserve a little more, clout. A really good EP that we got at that show had like five or six songs on it, and Bridges ended up being the most memorable of those. So, yep.
For my last pick first, and Lindsay, don't answer this, and probably Jesse too. Because I've got one, but I'd rather use this one, but I think this one's too well known. How many people here have legitimately heard of the band Metric?
Yeah. Yep.
Disqualified then. Damn. I really like Metric. Yes. Everyone knows them because, I mean, most people know them because they did Black Sheep on the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack, but that's not their best song. But I'll just, well, because the other one's Japanese, then I'm just ripping Lindsay off.
Someone. Yeah, they don't even have the best version of that song.
What's that?
I knew Metric from that, but one of my favorite Metric songs was called The Shade. They put out of a new album that they were doing back, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. So yeah, no, I know Metric for more than just that. I'm sorry.
My pick was Gackt, and I was going to put Miserable because I like him, but you know what? I don't care. This is my show. Jesse, you put Metric down. I don't give a shit how many people listen to them. You put Metric down, and the song that I'm recommending is called Clones. That's my recommendation. I actually just started listening to that song because I love Metric. I've got most of their albums on my Spotify. They do so much good music. But then I heard Clones, and the first time I heard it, I didn't really care for it. And the more I've heard it, now I'm obsessed with it, and I just want to hear it over and over again. It's such a sweet melody. I don't know. It's good. Lindsay, what's your last one?
As you said, another Japanese artist.
See, I didn't want to rip you off.
No, you're fine. So this one is Yo Kamiya. Kamiyama. I can't talk tonight. Gosh darn it.
Yo Gabba Gabba?
No.
Yo, you were legend for that one, fam.
Shut up.
That no so fast. Yo Gabba Gabba? No. And moving on.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, Lindsay.
We done?
No, not from you. I meant from him.
No, I know.
I was giving you credit.
No, you're fine. But yeah, so the song... I'm gonna butcher the pronunciation, so just look up the opening theme to Horiyama.
No, say it. You have to say the name of the song.
It's Iro Koshi.
Oh, that's not that bad.
It's Iro Koushui.
That sounds about right. I thought you were gonna like. I thought it was like a really long name.
That's the song I found them at. I've got like 20 other of their songs saved in my playlist.
So what's the artist again?
Yo Kamiyama.
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
Go ahead and
spell that for me.
K. Do you need all of it or the last part?
Jesse.
Y-O-H. K-A. K-A. M-I. Y-A-M-A.
Yes,
you do. Y-O. Space. G-A.
You forgot the H.
Space.
And then he said G.
B-B-A.
Yo Kamiyama.
M-R.
Where's Dalton?
He ain't listening to this show anymore.
Tanner. Fart. You gotta get ready.
Fart. Me.
Flatulence.
Jesus Christ. All right, that's gonna do it tonight.
Lick himself.
Oh, God, that's gonna it forever.
Wait, no, I've gotta... This is for... Everyone, I'd like to acknowledge, this is going to be so cheesy, but I don't give a damn. Tonight is the last episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. Thank God.
No, oh, you go, no, to, you hell. Go to hell. That you go amazing. To hell and you die.
So, damn!
I want to give it up for that fantastic show.
I mean, I haven't watched any of it, so I have no opinion.
And I want to leave the show with one word.
Okay.
He can't do it.
Hang on.
He can't do it.
Distracted. Hang on.
He's trying to do it.
This Tanner, you get the last word here. Make it good.
Oh, you ready? Ready?
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Shannon.
We haven't even done the plugs or anything, man.
Yeah, do the plugs.
All right. Here I got the minutes right here. All right.
801,
802. Lindsay!
Tomorrow's an all-new Horse Time right here on PBS. All right, Tanner, go ahead.
Shannon, how dare you? Bone!